And if they don't pay you back, then you start holding a grudge against them, and you're like, you know. And then you see them, you know, at Applebee's eating or something, and you're thinking, I wonder if they're eating off of my money or if they're eating off of their money. You know, it makes you start thinking about that stuff. So I'm not saying don't let people borrow money, but just be careful, because your relationship with that person will change. All right? So what do you think of when you hear the word debt? Anybody? Sir? Government, okay? That's very important. Sister? Bondage. Anybody else? How about stupid? Poor? Frustrating? Chaos? Ridiculous? Disgrace? Confusing? Terrible? Stress? All of us have our own words about debt. We all have our own feelings about debt. Make sure my little bills are working here. All right, this is the global debt. Right now it is at $38 trillion. It's the whole global. It's the whole world. Back in 2002, it was like at $18 trillion. So in the last 10 years, we have went from $18 trillion to $38 trillion. $20 trillion in 10 years. You don't think we have a problem with debt in our world, in our government, with our own household? $38 trillion. How many of y'all can even think of that? $38 trillion. That is so huge. Our national debt, I don't know if you can see it or not, but it's at $15 trillion. And if you watch it, click, every 8 seconds we spend $1 million. So if you count 8 seconds, that's $1 million gone. $1 million. $1 million. I mean, it's just constant. How do we stop this? Somebody said November. It's vote day. Even then, $15 trillion, it's going to be hard to pay that back. Very hard. But I believe that all this is happening according to the scriptures, Revelations. And I believe that we're in the end times, and it's not going to get better before it gets better, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. Amen? So, the average 21-year-old will spend $2.2 million in their lifetime. $2.2 million you will spend in your lifetime, the 21-year-old. So if you make about $55,000 a year, if you add that up, after about 40 years, you'll spend about $2.2 million. Wouldn't it be nice to have all that in one lump sum? That would be nice, wouldn't it? You could really take care of some debt like that. But when you get it in small, you know, like $300 here and $400 here, it's kind of hard to take care of that. But there is a way to take care of it. And we're going to talk about that tonight, about getting out of debt. 25 to 26 million American adults are unbanked, which means they don't have any knowledge about how to do any kind of banking. Isn't that sad? 25 to 26 million people, adults, are unbanked, which means they haven't taken a class like this. $10,000 to $12,000 is the total revolving debt carried by an average household. So an average household will have $10,000 to $12,000 debt all the time. So you know, if you get finished with your car and you get it paid off, after a while, you're going to say, you know what? We need a new car. And what do? Go back and get back in debt. It's that revolving. So the average household has $10,000 to $12,000 in total revolving debt. Nine. The average household has 9 credit cards. 9 credit cards. I believe we have 3? but one that we use quite a bit, but we don't have nowhere near nine. That would just completely, that's ridiculous, chaotic. All those words about debt. $24 billion was shelled out in credit card fees in 2004. $24 billion the American people paid for credit card fees. You think the credit card business is your friend? Think the banks are your friend? Miss a payment, see what happens. Miss a couple of payments and see what happens. You really see the love that they have for you. So in 2004, there was $24 billion paid out in credit card fees. It was an 18% increase here. These are like crazy stats. Crazy stats. But we're going to talk about how to get out of debt. There's 11 steps, according to Brother Bacon. All right? Now, up here at the front, we have Mr. Dave Ramsey. Heard of Dave Ramsey before? He is a financial guru. I mean, this dude is smart. He's wrote books. He has a radio show. He has a TV show. He has a website. He is a multi-millionaire. But he was, at one time, a millionaire, and then he went completely bankrupt. And then he started working back up, and now he's a multi-billionaire, probably. But he is very smart, and he teaches all these different things about finances. And at the end, you will have a chance to see all the books and stuff that he has wrote, and a lot of interesting information. But we're going to talk about the Michael Bacon steps, all right? 11 of them for getting out of debt. Number one, acknowledge the problem. Acknowledge the problem. First of all, you have to realize that you got a problem. The first step is admitting you have a problem. All you have to do is say to yourself, I have a problem with debt. I got into this because I spend money I don't have. But believe me, there's a way out. And you tell yourself, I can do this. I can control my spending, make a plan, and slowly get out of debt. This is a major step right here. A major step. Acknowledging that there is a problem. In order to come to Jesus Christ, you have to do what? You have to acknowledge that, hey, God, I have sinned. Forgive me. You have to acknowledge that there's something wrong with your life. So, acknowledge there's a problem. Number two, stop digging. If you're in a hole, the last thing you want to do is keep digging that hole. Stop any non-essential spending. If you have a major problem with credit cards, cut them up because they're hurting you. Cut them up. If you're not so bad with credit cards, at least put them away and don't buy anything on them. Credit cards must be paid on time to avoid charges. We all know that. So you're thinking, okay, well, what's essential? Obviously, your bills are essential. Your housing, your automobiles, gas, your groceries, things like that. Non-essential things are clothes, Sister Cherie, shoes, CDs, DVDs, magazines, gadgets, any kind of electronics. Those things are not essential. You can live without them, right? We can live without AC, right? It's hard, and you're going to be smelly and stinky, and nobody's going to want to come over to your house. But you can live without those things. I wouldn't recommend going without electricity though, if you can avoid it. But you know what I mean. Research your items before you purchase them. You must learn wants from needs and essentials from non-essentials. Don't envy debt. Just because somebody has something that's nice doesn't mean they own it. Because you can drive by somebody's house and, man, look at that house. Woo! Baby, look at that. four-story house and get all them cars out there. They probably don't own it. Some bank owns it, or the county owns it in Texas. Because you don't pay your taxes, you're going to lose it anyway. So, just because it's nice, don't envy that, because, you know, it's probably not theirs anyway. So stop your digging. Picture of a dog, yeah. Heaven there is not in color, so it's not real clear. All right, number three, make small cutbacks. When you're first starting out, you know, we don't want you to, like, completely go out, you know, go without anything. Just make small cutbacks. You want to take a look at the things that you normally buy and see if you can cut back on a few of them. So instead of going and buying name brand stuff, buy stuff with great value. It's a little cheaper. Tastes about the same. You know, you're just paying for the name. If you go and you got to get your kids shoes for school, my wife's probably going to be over here like making eyes at me. You know, you don't have to get them Nikes or Adidas or Reebok or Pumas or, you know, you can go to Payless and you can get them some XJ900s. I remember whenever I was just a little kid. And, you know, I wanted Nikes, you know, that was the thing, you know, Nike. And so my mom and dad, they were like, okay, let's go buy some shoes, you know, and I thought they were going to take me to Bell's and JCPenney's and stuff. We walked into Payless, and I was just thinking, you know, Lord, please don't let them have my size or, you know, something. And we walked in there and got some XJ, I will never forget this, XJ900s. I don't know if they make them anymore, but, you know, and I had to wear them to school and stuff, you know, I just felt so bad, you know, I just felt so poor. You know, but just because you don't have the nicest items and you know, at least you got something. There are a lot of people in other countries that don't have that stuff. So make small cutbacks on groceries, comp shopping. Sister Neil, Sister Hunt, Sister McLeod is into it now. Sister Elsa, Sister Margaret, Sister Bacon is getting into it. Amen. I'm glad about that. Comp shopping. It's, you know, it takes a little bit more time, but it saves a lot of money. Coupons. Sister Hunt told me right before the service, couponbug.com. They've got a lot of coupons and stuff, and you can find a lot of great deals. So couponbug, like B-U-G, .com. So, when you go to the store, try to buy in bulk. If you buy, like, you know, more of the same item, sometimes it's cheaper. If you have a membership to Sam's, that'll be the place to go. If you don't, holler at me, and one night we can all join up and go over there. I got a membership that I'll be more than happy to share with you if you need it. Using coupons will save you money. Think about it. Instead of going out and eating lunch, make your lunch at home. I'm talking to myself here, and I see my wife over there doing her eyes again, like, you know, you're talking to yourself. But, you know, make a lunch at home. It saves money. Instead of going out and getting coffee, make coffee at home. It's the same, but it, you know, it'll get you through the day. So, after you make these small cutbacks, add them up at the end of every month. Just see, you know, how much extra money you have. And don't buy extended warranties. When we first got our van back in 2004 or 5, somewhere in there, we were told that if you get this extended warranty, you know, it covers bumper to bumper. So the first thing that goes to my mind is, man, you know, bumper to bumper and everything in between, tires and brakes and, you know, and windshields and, you know, everything. Well, we all know that's not how it works. That's basically bumper to bumper. They're talking about, you know, maybe your bumper and that's it. But, you know, you're paying thousands of extra dollars for, you know, something that you're not going to ever use. You know, and it's just, you know, don't buy those extended warranties, because most of the time, by the time it's getting ready to break down, your warranty's already up anyway. So buying used cars will save you thousands of dollars immediately. When you go and buy a brand new car off the lot and you drive off that lot, it goes down thousands of dollars in value, because it was new, but then you got a hold of it, and now all of a sudden it's used, and it will drop in value thousands of dollars. So buy used cars. Now, I've always heard that if you buy used, you're buying somebody else's problem. That's not necessarily true, because there are a lot of used vehicles out there. We got a used vehicle, and we haven't had very many problems with ours at all. So that's not always true. All right, number four. Start an emergency fund or a savings account. But the key word here is emergencies. Define emergency. Somebody? Sir? Somebody passing away? Car breaking down, your kid falling off the courthouse lawn and breaking his arm? That's an emergency, right? Your kid's in there on the top bunk trying to chase the cat, and he falls off and breaks his arm. It's an emergency, right? You're at work and you trip and fall and you break something, and your job's not wanting to pay for it. It's an emergency. You're driving down the road and you have a flat tire, or a rock flies out of somebody's truck and busts out your windshield. That's an emergency. Hopefully you got insurance, and insurance will help with that. But an emergency fund. Emergency funds are important. Set up a savings account, if you don't already have one, for an emergency fund. Now, take the amount that you have saved in the small cutbacks that you've made and put in that savings account. It's important that you start a savings account before you try to start paying off debt. And in your account, you want to have a minimum of $1,000. Some of you are looking at me like, $1,000? What? $1,000 sounds like a lot of money, but whenever you start adding up how many times you go out to lunch and how many times you go out to eat after service, amen? How many times, you know, you just, you know, your kids are, Dad, can we go here? And you're like, oh, sure, here's $30. And, you know, well, start telling them, you know what, we're trying to get out of debt right now, so we're going to save that $30, you know? See, a lot of parents are like, yeah, Brother Bacon, preach it. Talk about it. But, you know, it's important. And this is not going to work if you're not on board with it. You know, I can stand up here and I can talk to you about it all day long until I'm blue and black in the face. But it's not going to work unless you decide on it that, you know what, something has to change in my life, in my lifestyle, in the way I spend, and all my debts and all my credit cards. This is very important, because if you are out of debt, then when we have a missionary that comes and they're talking about a school over in Mexico, you know, then you're not saying, man, you know, I'm broke, I got this bill, this bill, this bill. Well, you've got all those bills paid for, you know, and God's blessed you with all that. Now you can, you know, give it. And then God's going to bless you some more, right? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So get out of debt so you can give to people who are in need. So $1,000 emergency fund. The emergency fund protects your debt payments. It would give you peace of mind. Whenever you know that you have $1,000 in the bank, and that you're not touching it unless there is an emergency, it gives you peace of mind. I mean, it lets you know, that there's a little bit of comfort there. There's $1,000 sitting there waiting for something bad to happen. That's a bad way to look at it. You know, it's sitting there for something bad to happen to you. But, you know, it rains on the just and unjust. Right? Bad things happen to good people. So, emergency fund, very important. Number five, take inventory. Take inventory. Okay, this is a step that a lot of people don't like doing, but take a deep breath. Everybody take a deep breath. You need to do this. Remember what you said in step number one. You can do this. Set up a simple spreadsheet and list all your debts. In order for you to know how much you owe people and how much people owe you, you need to write this stuff down. You need to get all your credit cards and stuff together, you know, your Visas and your MasterCards and your Discovers and your Chase Bank and your Bank of America and your, you know, just nine credit cards for average household, remember? So just, you know, get everything together and just take inventory and look and see, hey, you know, what all do I have here? Because a lot of times, especially with younger people, they will get all these, you know, credit card applications in the mail and stuff, and they'll be like, oh, mom and dad, got a credit card, you know, and they'll be like, okay, you know, get it, but don't spend on it and stuff, you know, and then they'll get another one in the mail, and they'll fill it out, and before you know it, they have six or seven of them, and all of them's maxed out. Then they're coming to you saying, hey, mom and dad, what do I do? And you're like, get a job. You know, but first of all, you need to take inventory and find out what you got. Find out what you owe. And you need to set a weekly day aside that you do your bills. You can't wait, you know, a month or two before you do your bills. Because like I was saying earlier, you won't have no electricity if you wait too long to pay your electric bill, because it comes every month. Your phone bill comes every month. Your water bill comes every month. Your insurance comes every month. Get my drift? It's important to set a day, whether you get paid every week, you get paid biweekly, or you get paid by the month. I hope nobody gets paid by the year, because if, man, November and December, I'm sure it's very stressful for you. Very stressful. But it's important for us to tell our money where to go. Because if not, it'll wander off. How many of you know that? How many of you have a $100 bill and you're like, oh, I don't want to break this? Because, you know, once you break it, it just like it just, you know, a 20 goes here and a 5's here. And before you know it, you look down and you got a couple bills and a 10 and you're thinking, where did this go? You know what I'm talking about? But if you don't set aside and tell your money where to go, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes about envelope system. I love the envelope system. It's something that has saved us a lot of money and helped us put back money for several different things. But if you don't tell your money where to go, it'll find a place for it to go. All right? It'll just walk off. All right, number six, make a spending plan. How many of you have a spending plan or a budget? Woo, not very many. Hey, man, glad we're doing this tonight. Hopefully next year, y'all are like, Brother Bacon, we're rich. No, it's going to take more than a year. But in the American Standard Version of the Bible, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, the mind of a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. So we can plan stuff all day, but at the end of the day, God is going to direct us. He's going to direct our steps. In the New King James Version, Luke chapter 14 and verse 28 says, for which of you intended to build a tower, sit not down first and counts the cost, whether he have enough to finish it? In the Bible, pretty smart. It's important for you to sit down first, and if you're going to build a storage building or a house or whatever, you know, you're not just going to go out there and say, okay, we're going to build it today, you know, because if you are, I will. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. So it's important to sit down first and find out if you can even afford something. You know, don't go out and get in debt. That's how our government has gotten in the shape they're in right now, is because they spend money that they don't have. Make a list of all your bills that you pay monthly, other expenses you will be needing are Christmas, birthdays, car repairs, clothing. Let's go back to the start a emergency funding account. Emergency. Let me just let you guys know, and ladies, that Christmas is not an emergency. It comes one time a year. Okay, it comes every year. Birthdays for your children is not an emergency. So you cannot go and say, well, there's $1,000 over here, and get in that and buy your kids Christmas or birthday. That's for emergencies. Now, on the other hand, if your spouse is the only one working and they lose their job, and that's the only money you have, that's an emergency. Right? I see that as an emergency. So, but on a normal circumstance, Christmas and birthdays and car repair and clothing, it's not an emergency, because you know that your car needs oil change, right? Right? Every, 5,000 miles, whatever it is? I'm sorry? No. Now, if your wife is pregnant and she says, I want Starbucks now, it's an emergency. You get in the car and you go. Or if she says, I want chips with pickles or ice cream with peanut butter or whatever she says, you know, you're gonna, that's an emergency. You go and get it now. So, just to point out, if you are saying to yourself, or you're looking at me like, well, Brother Bacon, that's a lot of money. I don't have that much money to put back every week. Well, add up the amount of times that you go out to eat a week or a month. Our house, we have one time that we go out to eat, and most of the time it's on Friday nights, whether it's with the youth group or whether it's just us. But we go out to eat one time a week because we have a spending plan, we have a budget and envelope system, and we put money in our envelope system, and once that money's gone, what happens? Or next week. Right. Don't go get in the other one and say, well, you know, we really want to go. No. Slap your hand. No. Don't do it. How many times have you parents slapped your kid's hand and says, no, don't do that. That's a no-no. But I'm telling you, don't stick your hand in the other stuff, because it's marked for other things. So stay out of it. Not really. I'm not going to slap y'all's hand. Y'all know that. So, there's your extra money. There's your extra money to go into your savings account right there. So, cut back on some things, okay? Say, make a spending plan or make a budget. That's one of the most important ones right there. And I like the little piggy. He's cool. All right, number 7, control your spending. Control your spending. You may find it hard to keep track of your spending and ensure that you're sticking to your spending plan. So, what you want to do is withdraw amounts of money in cash and put them in a separate envelope. When your envelope is empty, you can't spend anymore. Continue to cut back on non-essential spendings as much as you can at this point, so you are able to stick within your spending plan. Start an envelope system. I'm going to show you guys. When I say you guys, I mean guys and girls. But if you notice on here, this one right here, it says gas. This is gas for our vehicles. So every week we put a certain amount of money in this envelope for gas. And after a couple weeks, you know, you're going to know how much money you spend, you know, whether it's to church, whether it's to work or whatever. You're going to know how much money to put in this envelope. This other one here is for church events. We know that our kids are going to be going to camp. We know our kids are going to be going to HYC. So we put a little bit of extra money in this envelope for that purpose. This is totally separate from our $1,000 emergency fund, okay? These are special envelopes. This one right here, we put $5 a week in there. $5 a week. And after a couple of weeks, you're looking and you'll be like, where'd that 100 come from? Because, you know, as you're doing it and stuff, it builds, and then, you know, as you're doing it and stuff, you're like, we need some more fives. So you go through the envelopes and you're like changing them out, and then you put 100 in there, and then next week you're like, whoa, we already got $100 in there. It'll surprise you what these envelope systems will do. The next one is groceries. And my wife informed me the other day that we need to up our money on our groceries. I was thinking, well, what about comp shopping? Is it not going to save us money? She said, yes, but you are still eating. You're still growing. And I said, you mean the kids? And she said, no, you're still growing. She didn't really say that about the growing part, but I can tell I'm growing. So, groceries. Put money in there. And when you go to the grocery store, whether it's $100 in there, whether it's $70, whatever's in there, don't carry your checkbook and your credit card with you to the grocery store. That's what the envelope system's for. Carry your envelope. You got $100 in there, guess what? You have $100 to spend, and that's it. Sister Hunt, if you find something on sale for Brother Marshall, instead of buying it for him, call him and tell him, hey, it's on sale. Come get it, because I don't have any money. But it's important, okay? Have one for groceries, church events, gas, and Christmas. Oh, Christmas envelope. Don't worry, brother, they're empty. So Christmas envelopes, each week we put in $20 in our Christmas envelopes. Because guess what? Christmas is coming. All right? It's already passed, but guess what? It's coming. A couple more months. I know that we're already in February of this year. All right? Since this is being recorded, I'll tell you after it's over with. It's in a very top secret place. But use the envelope system. But the only thing is, if you're going to use it, once the money that's in there that you have told where to go, because if not, it's going to wander off, you tell it, okay, you're going to the Christmas envelope. You're going to this envelope. And then, you know, once Christmas comes and the envelope's empty, what's it mean? It's no more Christmas. Sorry, kids. Now, ours was empty at Christmas time, and the kids were like, you know, had their little cute faces and stuff, so, you know, we had to take some out of another deal, so we had to slap our own hand. But, you know, we were able to build it back and get everything going. But the envelope system will help you out a lot. And the picture on here is control spending. It's cutting up a credit card. If you got problems with credit cards and you just cannot control yourself, cut them up. All right? Plastic surgery. Amen. All right, number 8. Pay bills on time. Remember the $24 billion in credit card fees that we talked about earlier in 2004? This is where this comes from. How many of y'all have ever gotten hit with a late fee on your credit card because you waited till the last minute to pay it? Or you didn't sit down and do bills with your wife and it didn't get paid? Or there's something always happens that stuff sometimes gets passed. This may be a problem for a lot of people. It is important, if you want to get out of debt, to start paying your bills on time. At this point, you want to focus on getting those bills paid out on time and making it a habit. If you have trouble remembering, try one of these methods. Pay the bill as soon as it comes in. So in other words, as soon as your electric bill comes in on Tuesday afternoon and you get it out of the mail, run in the house, pay it real quick, and put it back in the mail. That's one way to, you know, to keep from having late fees. Now, did you notice on your phone bill and your electric bill, sometimes that, you know, if you wait a couple of days over whatever, they won't, you know, like charge you any fees or whatever. But on credit cards and water bill and other things, they will hit you with the late fee. And if you're trying to get out of debt, that's the last thing you need, is more, you know what I'm saying? Anything else coming to you. Method is set up a reminder in your calendar program to tell you when these bills are due. And, you know, either on your phone or on your computer or anything like that. But those are two ways to keep you from not paying your stuff on time. Now, if you ain't got the money to pay it, well, that, you just ain't got the money to pay. But at least call the company. You know, call them and say, hey, you know, I know you don't care, and you've probably heard this 100 times already today, but, you know, it's been a tough week, tough month, tough year. You know, is there any way that, you know, we could, you know, something? And most of the time, they'll work with you. But if you don't call them and they don't hear anything from you, then they're going to think that you're just not going to pay, and then that's when you'll start getting other phone calls and from collection people, and it'll just be a big hassle for you. So, I need some help. Cameron, can you help me? All right, the next one, step number 9, is snowball. Start a snowball. Just turn around right there. Start a snowball. Y'all have heard Brother Grissom talk about a snowball effect on our van and the annex and the parsonage. That's what he's talking about. Now that your finances are under control, you can start a debt snowball. At this point, you should have an emergency fund. You should know how much you owe by taking inventory. You should have a spending plan or a budget. You should be paying your bills on time and controlling your spending. Now you can focus on paying your debt. Here's what to do. If you find at least $100 from your spending plan, use that to start your snowball effect. So what you do is you find your cheapest debt, which on this one right here, it would be a loan over here for $3,000. Even though this one right here may have 18.25 interest on it, you want to go ahead and get this one right here out of the way. Start with your smallest one first, because when you get your smallest one done, then it builds confidence, you know, and you're like, you know what, I paid one off. And then you can high five your wife or your husband or your kids, you know, high five them, you know, and then you can say, we did it, we paid off one credit card, or we paid off one student loan, whatever. So then you can take that money and apply it to the money that you're already paying on your credit cards. And then once that's paid off, then you can apply it to your vehicles or to your house or to your student loans, and it just keeps growing. So it starts out small, and then you take that money and add it to the other money, and it just keeps getting larger and larger and larger. So after you pay off this credit card or this loan here, you don't say, hey, babe, we got an extra $100 a month, and then go spend it. Right. Remember here, the whole reason we're having this is to try to get out of debt, not to get into debt more. So take the money that you're paying on each of your credit cards and apply it to the other one, you know, and it gets bigger and it creates a big snowball. And at the end over here, instead of your house taking, you know, 30 years for you, let's say that it's $600 a month. It's going to take you about 30 years in order to pay it off. But if you are paying $1,000 a month, it's going to go a lot faster. I don't know all the, you know, I believe, like, if you pay it off, like, if you add an extra $100 a month, I think it takes off, like, 5 years or something like that. But add it to it. It's a snowball effect. So add your money to that, and it will start getting a lot faster. faster paying off your debts. A heap of debt can be discouraging, but a snowball can help put it into focus quickly. So you may think, man, I got a lot of debt, but once you start getting them off there and it starts snowballing, and then you're thinking, man, I could take this $500 and put it with this $500, and now I got $1,000 and I'm paying to this, and instead of it taking you 5 years, it's going to take you 1 or 2.5 or whatever. It's a snowball. Let's look at the picture here. Snowball with money falling after it. All right, number 10. Number 10 is grow your income. How do you do that? Huh? Get more jobs. Hey, we got a young person talking about getting more jobs. Mom, did you hear that? She said, get more jobs. Grow your income. Wish I could find a tree like that. Amen. I would water that thing every day. Miracle Grow, Grow Miracle, whatever it is. I'd attach it to it. Another great way to get out of debt faster is to make more money. Look at ways you can make money on the side, or ask for a raise. You know, it's not, there's nothing wrong with asking your boss for a raise. The squeaky wheel always gets greased first, right? Is that what I've always heard? Also the first one to get replaced. You know? What's the worst thing that they can tell you? Well, right now, you know, we're just kind of slow and, you know, we can't do anything for you right now, but you keep doing what you're doing and maintain, and we'll see what happens. Okay. What if you walk in there and say, hey, boss, I need a raise? And he said, you know what? You do. Get you $5,000 extra a year. What? You don't get those kind of raises? Oh. You don't mark your red dot. No. Yes, ma'am. Hey, God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Mysterical ways. He might work in those too. You never know. So, ask your boss for a raise or get a better job. Take 30 minutes to brainstorm. Not right now, take 30 minutes, but, you know, tonight or tomorrow, just, you know, take a little bit of time and, you know, just, you know, wonder what would happen. I'll go down here to Mazio's and see if they need a pizza delivery guy. I've even thought about doing that, you know, for extra money. You know? I've heard they make pretty good money just driving around delivering. The only problem for me is, right, the pizza probably wouldn't get there and I'd get fired for eating it on the way. Or, hey, when my pizza got here, there was a piece missing. What's up with that? And they would know immediately, Michael Bacon was the driver on that one. So brainstorm about different jobs and stuff that you could possibly get. Plus, you can also see if there are ways that you can start a small business online. You can sell some of your valuables on eBay. How many of y'all use eBay? I use eBay. My wife bought most of our Christmas on eBay, so we didn't have to go stand in lines and, you know, wait for, you know, this. We done most of our Christmas shopping online, and a lot of the stuff was a lot cheaper than it was going to actual stores. But you can sell your valuables on eBay. You can start freelancing on the side. You can get a part-time job. This only has to be temporary, okay? I'm not saying that you have to go out and get a, you know, another full-time job and it's got to be for the rest of your life. It can be only for as long as you need it. So if you got $1,000 worth of debt and you want to get it paid off, you know, you can work there at that job for 6 months or 2 months. Just enough in order to get it paid off, and then you can tell them goodbye. But the money that you make, this is an important part here, but the money that you make on those jobs is not going to be extra money to go spend. But it's extra money to put in those envelopes or to make the snowball effect go faster. Be sure and apply all of your new income to your debt snowball and don't spend it. It's important. Don't spend it. All right? Number 11. Amen. Hear that? She said, and pay your tithes. I'm all for paying tithes, and we're going to get to that here in just a few minutes. Expanding your emergency fund. At this point, your emergency fund should be equal to 3 to 6 months of your household expenses. Keep funding your 401k. How many of y'all have a 401k retirement plan? Brother Marshall, do you have one with the post office? PSB? 401k is important. You're planning for your future. By the time I'm 70 whatever years old to get ready to retire, there's probably not going to be any Social Security. I know there's not going to be. Brad, he said there's not any now. But, you know, and more than likely, I hope and pray that God has already came way before that time ever comes. But if he doesn't, I'm planning for my future. Because God has given us intelligence and smarts to plan for things in the future, right? So, retirement plan is important to us. Your 401k, it may seem like it's going everywhere except up, but if you stop funding it, then you will definitely have no options at time of retirement. It's very important to make a living will. How many of y'all have a will that you have made? A living will. 1, 2, 3. 4? Okay. Some of you are thinking, well, I don't need a will because I don't have anything. I'm in the same boat. I don't have a will yet. Remember what I said at the starting of this thing here? The things that we had already talked about, me and my wife have been like, you know what? We're not doing this anymore. We haven't got a will. We haven't done this and this. And so we're going to go back and go over this right here again too. But if you don't have a living will, a will is something that is going to leave all of your stuff to somebody. Even if you don't have anything and you think, well, I don't have anything, if you have children, especially if they're under the age of 18, you need to have a will. Because if you die, the government or the state's going to come in and take your children and they're going to put them wherever they feel best. But if you have a living will and you say, no, when we pass away, we want our children to go to Sharon Hart, or we want our kids to go to Mike and Deborah Bacon, or, you know what I'm saying? But if you don't have a living will, then they'll just put them wherever, and it may not be in a Christian home. It may not be in a Pentecostal home. And I don't know about you parents that have kids that are young, but I don't want my children in some home where they can do whatever they want to do. I want my kids raised in the house of God and worshiping and believing and knowing the truth, knowing about the Holy Ghost and baptism in Jesus' name. All right, now that you have done those steps and you have gotten out of a lot of your debt, let's talk about giving a little bit. Giving, I'm not saying wait on giving until you have finished paying off your debt. But giving, you need to be giving along. Remember the envelope system? And even if you have to put your tithes in an envelope to where you can say, okay, money, you go here, or your offerings or whatever. Giving is very important. It's just as important as getting out of debt. When you are out of debt, you are able to give to God and to others more. You don't own your money. God has given us to manage it. And some of you, if you owned a business, you wouldn't give yourself money because of the shape that you're in now, of the financial situation that you're in, you know, the debt. I don't know any of your financial lives or whatever, but, you know, There are some people in the church that I just wouldn't trust, you know, letting them run my business. I don't have a business, but if I did, you know, there's just some people in the church that I, you know, that I just would not allow them to have any of my money because, you know, I see fruit inspector. I'm not judging. It's inspecting their fruits. And so, anyway, God has given us this stuff to manage. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, it talks about the talents of the servants. One was given five, one was given two, and one was given one. The one with five, what did he do? He went off and he doubled it. So he was a good person. I want him to run my business. Give him $5,000, he comes back with $10,000. Woohoo! What I'm talking about, even the one that, you know, he got two. Well, he went and doubled it. Well, I don't want the one that got one and he went and buried it. That's not what I'm looking for in my business. And I'm not sure that's what God's looking for in the kingdom of God. Because he has given all of us something that we can go share with somebody. And it's the Holy Ghost. It's salvation. And some of us, you know, we go and, you know, we live our little secluded life and, you know, we don't, you know, talk to anybody, you know. Shh, don't let them know I'm Pentecostal. They might ask me questions. Well, good. Let them ask you questions. And if you don't know the answers, call Brother Grissom. Or call Brother Bacon. Or call Brother Neil. Or call Brother Fry. Or somebody. We'll try to come help you. I'm not saying that we're going to come, you know, like Superman and be the hero, but we will do our best to help out. But we want to be servants like the one that had the five and the two and not like the one. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 18, Luke chapter 12 and verse 18, and he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God." In other words, this man was wanting to go out and tear down his barns because they weren't big enough. He was wanting to build bigger stuff so he could put all his stuff in it. But Brother Grissom was always talking about stuff. You know, all we have in our house is stuff. We've all heard the little saying that you have never saw a U-Haul following a hearse. When you leave this earth, you go. You don't take anything with you. So, verse number 20, it said, "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul is required, and whose things shall these be?" So, it's important for us not to always be thinking about, you know, well, what do I need? What does my family need? All right? Tithing. Amen. I love tithing. It's a good scripture. Brother Neil was talking about it earlier. Tithing scripture in the Bible is one of the greatest acts of obedience that a Christian can practice. Obedience that a Christian can practice. The purpose of tithing found in Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 22 and 23 is to teach us to always fear the Lord by practicing good tithing habits. The Bible scripture tells us that we are showing God our desire to put Him first in our life. Because it says, bring forth a tenth, we should always bring forth our best to God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you read above, in like chapter 20, 28, 29, it talks about, you know, don't worry about, you know, things. Don't worry about where this is going to come from, this is going to come from. But you put God first in your life, He's going to take care of everything else, Brother Robbie. He's going to take care of it. We don't have to worry about anything else. Now, He does give us common sense to keep a job, you know, and to, you know, try to keep living. But you put him first in your life, and amen. I was reading a story, and this woman writes, as I was reading in Acts, the story of Ananias and Sapphira stuck out to me. The believers felt that what they had was not their own, so they shared. They sold properties and possessions and brought the money to the apostles to be used for the people in need. This was not a requirement. The property was theirs and the money was theirs. They were doing an incredible thing by giving, but they were not required to do this. Ananias and Sapphira became greedy. They sold their property, but only took a part of the money to the apostles. Peter asked, if this was everything they had, and Ananias said yes. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you would lie to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money? Peter was telling him that it was his property and his money. All he had to do was be honest about it. It was essentially the lie that hurt him and ended his life. But the lie started by greed, by selfishness. In comes Sapphira, also full of greed, and she lied as well. And we all know what happened to her. She fell down instantly. Ananias and Sapphira gave with closed fist. So what they had, they didn't have to do it. But they done it because they saw that the people needed it. But once they sold everything, they wanted to keep back some. And then they came to Peter and said, Peter, you know, this is all we got. But yet they were holding some back, you know. They could have just, you know what I'm saying? It's important for us not, and I hope that nobody in here would lie to God or lie to the Holy Spirit. But giving is important. It's not required of us, except for tithing. But it's something special, and God will bless you. I mean, in so many ways in your life, in your health. I have not been to the doctor in I don't know how many years. You know, I never go to the doctor. I'm healthy. Now, I'm sure that when I get older and stuff, I'll have, you know, heart problems, and I'll have high blood pressure, and, you know, and all these other things that go on and on and on, and cancer, and just, you know. And they'll say, well, it's because all them years you didn't come to our offices, and, you know, and I'm sure that it'll be something. No, but God blesses me with health. He blesses me with you know, a good job, a loving family, you know, awesome things. Brother Robbie, you want to say something? Okay. That was my fault. Not brushing your teeth on a regular basis. You got an infection in the back. All right, so you can't give to God with a closed fist, because whenever he's trying to give you something, you can't receive it, right? As long as your fist is tight. But it's whenever you give to somebody and then God's ready to give, then you can receive it. Amen. Find out where we're at here. Surrender to God's kingdom. It's freedom. All right. Family financial fitness. This is talking about kids here. And I would really like for my wife to come up here and do this, but she told me that she didn't want to do it. So that's okay. These three jars right here, they are important to start your kids out on some kind of budget plan or whatever. Okay? In this first one right here, you have give. The second one, you have spend. This third one, you have save. So you have a give, spend, and save account. And when you give your kids, you know, $5 or a dollar, whatever, you take 20% of it and put in the give jar, and that's for their tithes and their offerings, and never, you know, and you put, say, 40 cents in here in the spending, and then 40 cents in the save. Well, in the spend, guess what they get to do? They get to spend it, right? Because this is the spend jar. But they don't get to spend the give jar, right? Except on giving. And they don't get to take out of the save because it's save. And if you teach your kids this at an early age, Cameron has his share jars. I don't think Caleb has them yet. But Cameron knows the importance of saving money and giving and tithing. He knows the importance of it because us as parents, we are trying to instill and install in our kids smartness about finances. Remember the 25 to 26 billion people in America who are unbanked? They have no knowledge about it. So they're just out, ooh, credit card. Wow. And you swipe it, what happens? You get stuff. And you swipe it again, what happens? You get more stuff. And you swipe and swipe and swipe and swipe, and then you just get lots of stuff, and then, you know, in a couple weeks, then the bill comes, and then you're in trouble. But if you start a give, save, and spend account with your kids, it will help them understand, you know, hey, I cannot get into the give account. I can't get into the save account. But it's important to teach our kids something about finances. ...45% of college students are in some kind of credit card debt. 45% of college students. The average credit card debt being more than $3,000. University administrators state that they lose more students to credit card debt than academic failure. Isn't that wild? That more kids leave college because they have debt problems than to them that can't focus and understand and keep their mind on their work. This is a little different than mine. Took off here. 96% increase in the number of 18 to 24 year olds declared bankruptcy. 2002. A number of 18 to 24 year olds declaring bankruptcy has increased 96% in the last 10 years. In 2002, more people filed for bankruptcy than graduated from college. In 2002. More people filed for bankruptcy than graduated from college. Personal bankruptcy nearly doubled in the past decade, including more than 1.6 million people filed for bankruptcy in 2003. 1.6 million people. You know how and why? Because it's so easy. It's so easy to go to the bank and tell them, hey, I got this land that I'm wanting to buy. And, you know, do you have a collateral, Mr. Smith? Yeah. I got this trashy car. Okay, we'll take it. And then you get that, and then you go purchase the land, and then you get credit cards, and you go, you know, buy all the furniture, you know, for your house, and you build your house. And then what do? Go file bankruptcy. You know, it's so easy to do that 1.6 million people done it in 2003. Home foreclosures in 2002 reached the highest level in over 30 years. Home foreclosures. A lot of that is to people, you know, losing their job and just not having money. This right here is very important. Once you get out of debt, stay out of debt. And the way you do that is you, instead of going out and buying stuff, you save up your money first. Save up your money, and then you see what happens. The resources, Mr. Dave Ramsey has several books, and I'm not getting anything from Dave Ramsey for doing this, but he has several books He has a radio show on KLIF from 1 to 4 on 570 AM. And this man here, if you call in, he'll tell you exactly how, I mean, he'll tell you. And if you try to argue with him, he's just like, you know, there is no arguing because he's already been there, done that, and he's trying to teach people about debt. So, once you get out of debt, stay out of debt, okay? All right? It's very important. Will you stand with me? I hope you have enjoyed this tonight. We are finished. But remember in Proverbs 22:7 that the borrower is slave to the lender. All right? So it's important for us not to be stuck on debt, but to try to get out of debt. That way we can give to the Lord and give to those who are less fortunate. All right? So let's pray and let's ask God to help us use this information for His kingdom, not only for our kingdom, for our lives, but for, you know. So let's pray and let's ask God to help us.